Thank you for joining us. We hope this message will be a blessing to you as you experience the love of God, grow in community, and discover and live out God's purpose for your life. Now, let's get into the message with Pastor Will.
So I'm excited about this message. And this title is called All In, Our Worship. So this is really dealing with our worship to God. So we've been talking about going all in, and we've been looking at the life of Abraham, and I'm just going to walk through this scripture very quickly. But where I want to get, I'll tell you the end at the beginning. Where I want to get is that while we're along this journey of saying, God, I'm going all in, don't forget to worship God. And you might say, you know, Pastor Will, if we're going all in for God, how are we going to forget to worship God? You ever hear this thing called religion? Or there's a scripture where Jesus says, your tradition or your religion has made the word of God of no effect. So religion is just practicing something. So you can say, I'm going all in for God. And part of my all in is I'm going to read the Bible every morning before I go to work. Right. And so you start off good with that. But then you begin to do it so often that you just do it and you're not connecting with God. Has anybody ever been there? Or you just say, Lord, bless his food. In a Catholic church, I was raised in the Catholic church, we had this prayer. Bless us, O Lord, and these thy gifts we're about to receive from your bounty in Christ our Lord. Amen. I still remember that from 1992. Right? And so we would sit down at the table and speak that blessing. And how many of you know that we were not inviting God per se into that moment? We were just speaking what we knew to speak. And how many of us, we find ourselves in that place? Like, we're just doing it. How many know the Our Father, right? And did you know that there's a different translation of Our Father that's from Scripture and the Catholic Church? The one that we know is Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom, thy will be on earth as it is in. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our, right? And do you know that that part of the forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, that's the Catholic Church tradition? And you cannot find that in any translation of the Bible? Okay, so I was raised Catholic and I love the Catholic Church. It really helped me. But what I am saying is that sometimes we can get so caught up in repetition, religion, tradition, that we do it without God. It's like, hold on, God, I'll be back. I got to go do this prayer real quick. Don't that sound crazy? But we do that. So what I'm doing is challenging, what God is doing is challenging us that whatever your all in is, please insert intervals where you worship God. Amen? So then we're going to talk about worship in a moment. Insert moments where you worship God and you're going all in. All right, so let's go. So Genesis 12:1, right? God speaks to Abram. Now in Haran, the Lord said to Abram, go away from your country, your relatives, your father's house, to the land that I will show you. Verse 2, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you abundantly, and I will make your name great, exalted, distinguished, and you shall be a blessing, a source of great good to others. Verse 3. He says, and I will bless, I will do good for, benefit those who bless you. And I will curse, that is subject to my wrath and judgment, the one who curses, despises, dishonors, has contempt for you. And in you, all the families, nations of the earth will be blessed. Hey, this is one of the reasons why you don't have to fight your battles. I speak this every once in a while. God, especially when I'm dealing with someone that kind of rubbing me the wrong way and trying to treat me wrong, I say, God, I thank you that according to your word, that you will bless those that bless me. But I thank you according to your word, you will curse those that curse me. And back up. Are y'all following what I'm saying? It's in the word. It is a covenant promise from God's word. So guess what? I don't have to use no cuss words towards somebody that's trying to curse me. Use the word. and stand on the word. You bless me, you're going to be blessed. Right? You curse me, it's out of my hands. Can y'all receive that? Because some of y'all are like, well, I got some things that I want to say to that person. So now you cursing them. And now if they're in God, now you messed up. And you just got yourself out of position from being blessed because you decided to curse someone or cuss somebody out. So I hope that all of us, right, because usually it's when I'm driving in the car is when, you know, I forget the scripture. Right? And somebody cutting you off or something like that. Lord. Woo. Or they driving. I see it here in Delaware a little bit. And they use that one finger type of thing, right? And so you are blessed. The blessing of the Lord is upon you. And so if someone blesses you, the blessing of God that's on your life blesses them. But if they speak wrong against you, God's got your back. Amen? It's a promise. You don't have to do nothing. Now, I know we get in our flesh every once in a while, so I get it. Just ask God to forgive us if we step out of it. But hold on. If you never read that scripture before, Genesis 12:3, please speak that. Speak it. And even in the midst of someone treating you wrong and saying something wrong against you, whether you say it out loud or you murmur it underneath your breath, right? Somebody say, you know what? Whatever they say to you, you can say, you know what? Blessed are those that bless me and cursed are those that curse me. I'll talk to you later. And that's it. So please let this word be in your heart so that in the midst of those intense moments, the thing that comes out is the word and not some other stuff. Anybody ever say this to you? Oh, my bad. After they say something they ain't supposed to say, you know, or excuse my French. Stop. You know you're about to say something you ain't supposed to say. Or the one that, my bad, I don't know where that came from. Yes, you do. It's in you. And the moment the atmosphere, the environment is correct, guess what's going to come out? It's going to come out. So, but if as a believer in Jesus Christ, if I can spend more time meditating on God's word, then it can mix into what some of that other stuff that always want to come out. And then as Tremaine was praying, then the word can get in my heart and say, okay, this stuff over here, you need to stop doing that. And it divides the truth then from that which is wrong. And it literally goes in and it defines for us the things in our heart that is of God and the things that ain't of God. That's what the word of God does. So every time you read the word, it is a sword that's going in to say, let me separate so that you're not confused the things that is pleasing to God and the things that's not. And then we have to make a decision. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. Which way am I going to go? But if we're not reading the word, we're a little confused about what's right and what's wrong. And the word is there to clearly define where's that line at. Amen. I know in here we ain't got nobody that like cussing. What you mean cussing? So what we've been talking about in All In is that in order to go all in, you've got to do something. You cannot, and I've said this before, bad English, you cannot not do anything and say I'm going all in for God. You got to do something. And then this is a big area, and I pray that we are working on this area. Please check your community, check your crowd, check your people, check your crew. Check who you hanging out with. Check what you're watching. Check what you're entertaining. You got to check it. Believe me, because if you think that people around you are not influencing you, you've got that wrong. If you think that music is not influencing you, you've got that wrong. Shows, whatever you're watching, it's getting in your heart. So you can say, I'm going all in, but you keep feeling like this hindrance pulling you back. And you're wondering, why is it such a fight to do the things that God wants me to do because you keep indulging in things that don't line up with God's will and you know it. So you're fighting yourself because you keep hanging out, listening to, watching things that opposes where you're trying to go in God. Are y'all following me? That second area is so important. Check your environment. Some of y'all, and I was joking, I was real, but I was joking about this, talking about my life. Them CDs, remember I said that? I, bam, threw them down, had to crush them. You know what was hard today? You can't crush YouTube. Like it's, do you realize the amount of things that pop up in front of us? Right? All the time. Please hear what I'm saying. So if you're not praying, not reading, you're not, you know, y'all here, so y'all in church, but if the people that's not coming to church and you're not worshiping, you're not hanging around people that are, you know, like going in the direction of God that you want to, and all week long you're getting all of these images and all of these different things, you know what? Guess what direction you are going to go in? There's a scripture that says, don't be unequally yoked. Familiar with that? So if you see that there's two ox, and they have around their neck a yoke, and they're pulling a burden, which ox is going to lead what direction they need to go in? The stronger one. And so if we know that we cannot handle certain things, but we keep hooking up with stuff that's stronger than us, then guess what direction we gonna go in? We're gonna go in the direction of the thing that's stronger. Oh, I can handle that. I'm gonna walk a little bit closer in the middle aisle so somebody can hear me. No, you can't. And we've got to stop tricking or lying to ourselves. Oh, I'm good. No, you're not. Because by, we were talking about this earlier, by Wednesday or Thursday, I don't even know if I want, I don't know. And it's because my environment. I'm going to say it one more time. Check your community, your environment, your people, your social, all that. Amen? And I keep repeating it. Because when we first say it, it's like here. And then say it again, it's like, huh. Start thinking about it, here, right? Then I say it again, it's like here. I'm trying to get it to where it's in your gut. And when you're about to do that thing that you know is not right, you're like, darn Pastor Will guy, whatever his name is. That's what I want. That on the inside you start like, and we say, something telling me I shouldn't do this, right? Hey, it might be God or it might be Pastor Will or it might be your conscience is telling you. Check your community, check your dwelling. I'm going to keep going. To the land I will show you your purpose. Build an altar is this area of worshiping God. Verse 4. So Abram departed in faithful obedience as the Lord had directed him, and Lot, his nephew, left with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. So Lot, hold on, what did God say? Now, I don't know this, so I'm just going to bring it here. Genesis 12:1, God says, leave your country. What was the second thing he said? Leave your relatives. Scripture says, so Abram departed in faithful obedience unto the Lord. I'm going all in. And Lot, his nephew, went with him. Now, I don't know for sure if Lot was considered one of them relatives that he was supposed to leave behind. But can y'all just entertain this with me for a moment, for the sake of us? What if Lot was supposed to stay, if you follow this teaching, in Ur, that's where they came from, with the other uncle named Nahor? Let me bring it up to speed. Lot's father name was Haran. Haran died. The grandfather was Terah. Terah died. So now it's either Abram or Nahor, these two brothers, that's going to take care of their nephew. Anybody ever in this situation? How come Nahor didn't take Lot? Abram, God said, leave your country, leave your relatives, your father's house, and go to a place I'm going to show you. And the scripture says that Lot tagged along. Can I ask this question? How many people are tagging along with you? And God said, leave them. Now, for married people in here, I ain't talking. Don't you go, Pastor Will said, I need to. Because God said, all relatives. But can you follow me? Now, I don't know. I don't know for sure because the scripture doesn't break it down to us. But I'm just saying, let's just bring it current. Are there people in our life that God says, you know, you need to kind of like distance yourself from them a little bit. And we said, and they're like, hey, can I come with you? And you kind of like, ah, God said all relatives. But because you feel sorry for them, you feel obligated. You keep dragging them along. And we're going to find out as we go throughout the rest of this series that Lot ended up causing some issues. If you know anything about Sodom and Gomorrah, that's where Lot ended up living. So who are those people? Who are those situations or circumstances? What is it that God is clearly speaking possibly to you and saying, let it go, leave it, stop messing with it? And we keep saying, but, if I don't take care of this, then nobody else will. And God is saying, you're supposed to leave Lot in that country. And here you are, headed to the promised land, headed to the land of Canaan, and you've got extra weight. You've got somebody or something with you that you weren't supposed to have. Whew. If we had a notepad and a pen, I would ask you, go on, write that person down right now. Or write that circumstance down right now. Who is it or what is it that God is telling you, let it go, and you keep saying, nope, because if nobody else takes care of it, it's like a plant that you keep carrying from house to house. And it's going to cause some issues for you in your new location if you don't hand that thing off to somebody else. I'm just going to say this. It's not your responsibility. And this is for you that know what I'm talking about. And you keep taking it. It's not your responsibility. Amen? Is that a word for anybody there? Man. The other part, and this is going back to the scripture here. So Abram departed in faithful obedience as the Lord had directed him. So Abram did, God said, leave, like go, leave, and all of, in Genesis 12, 1, go. And Abram did what God had previous, past tense, had directed him. So I want to share this, is that sometimes we're kind of like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do next. If you don't know what to do next, do the last thing that God told you to do. Whatever was the last thing that God directed you to do, do that until you know the next thing to do. Like sometimes we're kind of, you know, it's like, God's like, do this. I'm like, well, I don't want to do that. What else you got? Any more options? You know? And it's like, I don't know my next move in this season. Well, what was the last thing God said to you? What was the last thing that God directed you to do? And whatever that is, get that notebook. You wrote it down somewhere. You told somebody about it. And this is the reason why it's good to have accountability partners or somebody that will challenge you, that will say to you, you remember last year you said that you was going to start school? Or that you was going to do this? How come you ain't started doing it yet? What was the last thing that God directed you to do? If you can remember that, do it. Amen? Boy, that was such a deep word right there, wasn't it? Woo! Sometimes we go to like big revivals and all that. God said that. Whatever he showed you a year ago, you need to walk in it. Hey, I'm saying it to you this way. When you don't know what to do, do the last thing that God directed you to do. Amen? I just save you a plane ticket somewhere. We have to be careful who we are taking with us when God directs us to leave and go. Praise God. Verse 5 says this. This is for the married couples and everything in here that are trying to walk away here talking about, well, Pastor Will said, I need to leave you in the Ur of the Chaldeans. Abram took Sarai, his wife, and again, and Lot, his nephew, and all the possessions which they acquired, and the people and the servants which they acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram, so now Abram is in the land of Canaan, and it says that Abram passed through the land. So he is now in the land that they were headed to, that God directed him to, as far as the site of Shechem, to the great terebinth, oak, tree of Moreh. And now the Canaanites were in the land at that time. So please picture this, if you were with us. So Abram's family, his dad, you know, they leave Ur of the Chaldeans, and they are headed towards this place called Canaan, but they stop in Haran. The people die, and Terah dies, and then God speaks to Abram in Haran and says, go to a place I'm going to show you. Now, Abram leaves Haran, and he's headed towards Canaan, and he finally steps into the land of Canaan, and he gets there, and he's deep in the land of Canaan. And guess what? Y'all supposed to say, what? What? There were some other folks there. Hold on, God. So I've been through all of this. My brother died. My father died. I got Lot with me. And I finally get to this place where you told me to go. Go to the place I'm going to show you. I finally get to the place where you're showing me. And I walk into the land. And I realize that the land is occupied by our enemies. Anybody with ites are enemies unto the people of Israel. What do you do when you finally do what God is leading you to do, only to find out that when you get to the place that he's leading you to get to, somebody else there? Or the situation is not what you expected. The reality is, I thought, just kind of summarizing, that when we got there, man, we're just going to be able to put up our tents wherever we want it. I was going to be able to put, I'm just saying some stuff, put a pool back there. I'm going to build a like in-law suite over there and all of that. But it says that he walks, I mean, he goes a good depth of this land of Canaan. He's deep in the land. So this is another word for someone. You're deep. It's not like you're at the edge of the land of Canaan and you saw that there was these Canaanites there. You all the way down here, you done settled down, you're in it. And then you realize, like, we ain't the only people here. This is not what... Anybody ever say this? This is not what I signed up for. But I'm so deep in it. What do I do? What do I do now? If you show me God, don't you wish this sometimes? When I was about to enter into the land of Canaan, if you showed me what this thing was going to be like, I'd have been like, never mind. I'm going to go to the next town. But you allowed me, God, to get deep into this job, into this relationship, deep into this community, and then you're going to show me my enemies. Oh, okay. But listen to this next part. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, God meets Abram in the land that he told him to go to, but also in the place where the Canaanites were, where the enemies were. Can I say this to us today? God will not lead you to a place and then he becomes silent. He won't lead you to a place and then all of a sudden he just, like, you're out there and he stops speaking. Or he stopped showing up. It says that two things. God appeared and then he speaks. If God is leading you to do something, leading you to a place, whether it's all in, whatever it is, please know that God will be with you in that place and he will also speak to you. The challenge is that sometimes we get deep in a place and we're like, what's this? And we turn a deaf ear to God. Or we stop praying and we stop reading. Why? Because I don't like where I am. I don't like this, God. Why didn't you give me a sneak peek? But the reality is, if God took us up on a mountain and said, I want you to look down at where I'm about to take you, most of us would be like, I'm good. Somebody else can deal with that. And so often what God has to do, he'll say to us, go to a place that I'm going to show you. Why don't you show me, God? Nope. Go to a place I'm going to show you. And it's not until sometimes that we are in the thick of it that we see it. And it's like, And God says, here I am. He will show himself strong on your behalf, right where you are. But then God says this, I will bring or give this land to your descendants. So this is for someone else as well. You're going through everything that you are going through in your life, and it's not for you. It's for your descendants. It's for the people that's coming behind you that cannot hear God like you can. And God is using you to clear the way so that when they get to this point, they won't have to deal with that. So God gets you deep into this situation and says, I need for you to hear me because one day your children and your children's children and your children's children is going to show up to this place. But they had to know that you showed up first. You made it to the land. And you might say, I only stayed in the land for about a week, but you made it. But this land, this space, this calling, this purpose, this assignment, it's not just about you. It's about your descendants. And so every time we want to give up, every time we say it ain't worth it, think about the generations behind you that is coming and that need to know and need to be able to say, wow, there is a cloud of witnesses that walk by faith and not by sight. So that's for someone. It's not just for you. There's someone else behind you. And sometimes it may not just be your family. There's somebody watching you, brother. There's somebody watching you, sister. And they are wondering, if they can do it, then I can do it. If they can't do it, and they pray all the time, I know I can't do it. Somebody is watching you. Amen? A little bit further. The rest of that scripture says this. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, I will give this land to your descendants. And here's the final part. So Abram built an altar in that place to honor the Lord who appeared to him. This is what we say sometimes. God, if you can just remove this situation, then I'll worship you. God, if you can just fix this situation, then I will praise you. God, if you can just answer this prayer, then I'll show up. God, if you can just, but Abram said, if you spoke to me in the midst of it, you spoke to me right here. So it's right in this place, right in this challenge, right in this place of fear that I'm going to build an altar unto you. I am going to honor you, God, right in the midst of it. I'm not going to wait until I get out of the land and be like, man, I'm so glad I made it out of that. Lord, I praise you. Lord, I worship you. Lord, I bless you. God, you're awesome. No, right in the midst of it, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know. I'm confused. But one thing I know what to do is give God praise. I know to worship God. I know to pray. I know to open up my Bible. So if you are currently in the midst of a land that you're just like, I don't know why I'm here, do the last thing that God told you to do. And if you're like, I don't know what God told me to do, let me tell you what worship is. Worship is praising God. It's praying to God. It's thanking God. So do that. Worship God right in the midst of where you are. Can I say, don't wait until it's over. Build an altar to the Lord right where you are. And building an altar is a sign of worship. Right where you are. That's the place of worship. And that's what I believe God is speaking to us today. For many, God has led you to a place, doesn't have to be physical, a space, an environment, atmosphere, situation, circumstance, and you're deep in it, and you're too far to go back, but you're not quite through the land. And it's in this moment that you realize that there's some agitation going on. There's Canaanites in the land. And in the midst of you wondering, what do I do? God speaks to you. And whatever it is that God is saying to you, grab what God is speaking to you and build an altar. Worship God. Praise God. Thank God. Pray to God. Seek God. Don't wait until you feel relief and then say, now I'm going to do all those things. Do it while you're in the land.
Thank you once again for listening to Pastor Will's message. We hope that it has been a blessing to you today. Our goal is to help you experience God's love, grow in His love, and live out His purpose for your life. We invite you to join us live each Sunday at 11 a.m. to hear Pastor Will's message. For more information, encouraging messages, and events, please visit us online at purposechurchde.org.